This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Dow dropped 800 points in 2 days this week, but October is typically a month of high volatility in trading, and there are national signs that a recession could be looming. But there may be ways to protect your investment portfolio. And joining us now to talk about that are Foster and Motley President and Managing Partner Zachary Horn. Hi, Zachary.
How are you doing, Michael?
And Wells Fargo Financial Advisor Chris DeSimio. Welcome back, Chris.
Always good to be here, Michael.
And we want to remind our listeners that the information provided on the show is general in nature and may not apply to your personal investment situation. That said, give us a call at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll be looking for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those into the show as well. So guys, the stock market has had a rocky week this week. I'm looking at some of the numbers now and it looks like we are up across the board in the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P, but just a little bit, still early in the trading day. So we'll see if the downward trend of the week is bucked a bit today. But let me just start out with just some general questions about the stock market, not necessarily what it is, but what's happening this week, Chris?
There have been a lot of economic indicators released that suggest that growth is slowing down. And so earlier in the week, we had a manufacturing number lower than expected. Yesterday was the ADP employment number that came in a little on the light side. And this morning, at around 9:59, we were doing reasonably well. And then the Purchasing Managers Index service sector number, it was still showing an expansion, but not as much as people had hoped or had expected, because hope is not an investment strategy. It's the expectation. The analysts' expectations had been it was going to be higher. And so it added to that fear that, oh my gosh, there might be another recession. A recession, first of all, 2019 is still – It's almost over. So the odds of having a recession in 2019 are slim to none. Could one happen next year? The odds are going up. And that has a lot of people concerned about what kind of assets should we own then if that is in fact what's around the corner. And so it happens lightning quickly now. And we were, again, up a little bit at 9:59. Once that number hit, if you looked away from your screen or looked away from the TV and just flipped back, you were down 300 points on the Dow. The speed with which it happened was just breathtaking this morning.
And so, Zachary, you hear Chris reference some of these areas that people in the know how to analyze and comprehend and understand the impact that they might have on the market. But
sure,
what about the regular Joes out there who maybe just dabble in the stock market and don't quite understand how those factors are considered in the numbers that come out each day off of Wall Street? So how are the regular people supposed to understand what's happening each day?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think the advice that we give to folks, usually we're talking to clients that have a long-term view with their investment dollars, and what we tell them is, you know, focus on what'll win the marathon for you. It's not a sprint. We're not going to react to every headline that we see in the news and try and time the market to, you know, avoid when the next downturn will occur. It's inevitable. When you invest in stocks, in the stock market, there is risk. There is going to be downside returns from time to time, and the market will decline. And so what you need to do is have a game plan for what your long-term asset allocation strategy should look like. Be well diversified. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak, and stick to the game plan. Rebalancing and diversification, those are two keys to mitigating risk for our clients.
And Chris, you talked a bit about the potential of a looming recession, and you referenced that that might come next year. How are we supposed to factor that in to our stock options as we're figuring out how to invest in the market, especially when you factor in the politics that might surround this argument, when you might have a president who says that people are calling on a recession to hurt my poll numbers, and so that's part of the narrative now too. How do rank and file investors consider that while they're watching the numbers come in?
I believe with all my heart that the single most important thing any rank and file investor, any human being who's worried about the future and worried about the present has to do is understand what each little piece of their portfolio is supposed to be doing for them. In other words, you have to look at you open up a bank statement and if you're not asking the question, what am I going to use this money for and when am I going to need it, then you're easily distracted and led astray. you have to understand what you are going to, what you're trying to do in the short term, and what you would like to do in the intermediate term, and then even in the longer term, what you want to pass along. If you don't frame your investment decisions from those time perspectives, when are you going to need it? How much are you going to need? Then you'll just be bouncing back and forth. Your portfolio will reflect whatever you last saw on TV, in which case it's probably a good idea just to turn the darn thing off. So having a well-defined view of what you are trying to do. Is this money, for example, that you're looking at on your bank statement? Is that money you're going to use to buy a car? Well, great. When are you going to buy the car? Next year. All right. Well, then that money shouldn't be in the stock market, because if your car fund is all invested in stocks and your portfolio loses value, you just lost your air conditioning and your nice sound system.
Right? And Zachary, with talk of recession looming over the narrative about investments and Wall Street, what does history show us about the impact that has on people who are entering the market? Does it persuade them not to?
Sure. Well, history shows us that the stock market has been quite resilient and that it has rewarded the patient and long-term investor. And so to Chris's point, when you're investing in stocks, you're doing so if you've got a long time horizon, a long investment time horizon. You're not doing so with short-term plans for saving for a car or a down payment on a house or something like that. You wouldn't expose that money to the stock market. But if you are saving for retirement and you need to grow your assets to support your lifestyle in retirement and you need to outpace inflation, then it's worth taking the risk. And history shows us over long stretches of time, you're going to be successful in getting greater returns from the stock market than you would by holding your cash or even bonds or some sort of cash alternative. And so over long stretches of time, investing in stocks will give you the ability to outpace inflation, to improve your purchasing power, because there's risk in having too much money on the sidelines as well, where you can lose the value over time to inflation and not be able to sustain your needs in retirement. And so having a long-term plan and being invested for the long run when it comes to stocks is what's most important.
And additionally, Chris, with talk of a recession, the grand scheme right now, the economy feels okay for the average American. You know, maybe the wages are up slightly and things are affordable. What should they be looking at when trying to figure out whether something's about to hit the fan, rather than some of these key indicators that the experts are embedded in?
I think they should be looking at what their own plans are. Again, if you're going to be buying a house, your down payment money should not be invested in stocks. If you're going to be retiring in 20 years from now or 30 years from now, if longevity runs in your family, then you should be leaning more on stocks. The important thing, and Zach brought it up, is to have an overall allocation and then to rebalance back to it. Because if you don't rebalance back to it, then your portfolio probably is reflecting more risk than you think it does. And you can only run away from that pile of unopened statements so long before you get a margin call or you have to pay some, you have to raise some cash and you're shocked by what happened to your portfolio. So you can look around and see it and anecdotally see and determine that, okay, yeah, the economy's not bad. You should be looking around, not just here in the United States, but looking around the world and asking, are the people we sell stuff to, are they doing okay? Is there construction going on? Are people hiring or not? What about home sales? What's happening there? You can look around and see signs that things aren't so bad. To your earlier question, you know, the Fed had been raising interest rates for 2.5, 3 years, starting back in 2015. They now have some ammo, right? They didn't have any room to cut rates. Now there is. And so one of these issues that's sort of self-leveling, self-correcting, is that as signs of weakness do appear, and if they look like they're going to be persistent, the Fed does have room to cut rates. And so all these, you can see what's happening in the bond market. The yield on the 10-year Treasury has gone from about 1.7. It's down around 1.5 now. So rates have dropped again, which kind of greases the skids for home buyers. So it's not all doom and gloom, even when it looks doomy and gloomy, there's usually a silver lining to be found somewhere.
Yeah, and I'll just add that, you know, all those things can temporarily reduce the likelihood of a recession and a downturn. But we know that inevitably we will see a recession and we will see bear markets, corrections, bad market environments. That's par for the course. That happens. And that's okay. It's certainly not enjoyable in the moment. We all lived through 2008, 2009, and that's what pops in our heads when we think about it. Now, that was a especially trying market and, you know, from peak to trough, close to a 50% pullback in stock value. So that one hurt. That one stung, and that's fresh on people's minds. So that's why you see as there's headline risk or indicators of recession looming that people are quite fearful. Brings back memories of dark days. But ultimately, you can't time the markets and guess right when to get out, when to get back in over and over and over and be successful. You have to have a diversified portfolio, a plan for rebalancing to an appropriate asset allocation, and you have to stick to that plan. And naturally, when the market does turn down, people tend to tighten their belts, and that helps as well when you don't put as much pressure on the portfolio in bad environments.
I wanted to ask about that because you're right. When you hear the word recession, a lot of us, and maybe even particularly millennials who were impacted so hard by the Great Recession, who may not have been adults the last time that we had what may be more traditional recession. Is it sort of like describing the Great Recession as your house burning down and maybe just a typical recession being a kitchen fire that's an inconvenient and it's something that you've got to deal with, but the house will still be there when it's fixed?
Yeah, sure. It you know, when you live through an environment in the market that is that traumatic, that is that much of a pullback, there's a lot more fear, and that's when you really test what was your risk tolerance to start with, right? Because when markets are going hot and doing very well, everybody's risk tolerance, they think they can handle a little more risk, but it gets tried in the bad markets, and we learned a lot coming out of that with our clients that okay, maybe there were. Maybe that we need to continue to evaluate the risk tolerance of clients because we can do all we want for diversification and rebalancing to try and mitigate risk. But ultimately, if you have 70, 80, 90% of your portfolio in stock, there is risk. Even if it's international stocks and well-diversified from geography and countries and different types of companies and sectors, there's going to be risk and the portfolio will lose some value. So, you know, kind of taking a fresh look at that risk tolerance from time to time. The importance of that is if you have a client who has an inappropriate asset allocation, is taking more risk than they can stomach, they're more likely to make detrimental decisions in a bad market, like sell and run for the hills. And that's the exact opposite of what you need to do.
I would add also that if you're doing this on your own or working with an advisor, you really need to understand the concepts such as the efficient frontier and what the different portfolios along that frontier do. With the most conservative portfolios might have some stocks, but maybe only 10%. And a more aggressive portfolio won't be 100% stocks. It'll be roughly 90% stocks. But what kind, how to rebalance? There are tools available that even people doing this at home, you can go to Morningstar.com, load your portfolio in, and then say, well, what happens if I add a little bit of this, a little bit of that? And you can measure the impact that that'll have on your expected returns and your volatility.
And Chris, we brought you all in to talk about diversification. So those who may be invested in the stock market, what does that mean exactly to be diversified?
It means having things that zig while the others are zagging. If everything you own is moving in the same direction at the same time, you're not diversified. And so an equity portfolio, in order to be diversified, should have several different sectors. And it's easy to do that now with exchange-traded funds. An overall portfolio should have several different asset classes. And again, the longer your time horizon is, the more you can tolerate the uncertainty of stock returns because they are the highest over the long run, but it has a wider – it's like the faraway part of the tornado or the hurricane impact zone. It's got the widest variance because it's 3 or 4 days out. But the stuff that's coming at you in the next half hour, that has to be invested in cash and bonds and things that don't fluctuate as much. So diversification means different asset classes. And again, it's something you can look at. You can load up a portfolio into any online or have your advisor do it for you. But going into this fourth quarter, if you don't understand or have a good grip on what kind of risk is already in your portfolio, then you may look for the seatbelts. before you look for the exit.
And Zachary, how do you prepare investors for the patience that might be required while they're diversifying their portfolio, since it seems that there's a longer wait for a return on that?
Yeah, it comes with a lot of communication and education and explaining what we've been talking about here in great detail. And I think it is it's a tough concept that people have to become accustomed to, that they can't only own winners in the moment. Not all their stocks will be doing great at any given point in time, and not all asset classes. And that's okay. That's because you don't want everything to be trending downward at the same time in the same direction. And so you have to shift around what you're invested in to add that diversification. And I'll also add that the rebalancing component is very important, because as markets rise, as we've seen, stock markets doing quite well this year so far overall, that has allowed for a lot of accounts to get overweight in stocks. They now have more exposure to stocks than they had planned for. And so that adds more risk. And then if you see a down market, you will see more decline than you otherwise would have. So rebalancing, selling some of the winners as they rise in value, buying some of the lower performing asset classes over that time frame, allows you to keep the appropriate mix, the appropriate asset allocation, and that appropriate risk level that works for your clients long term.
And we're just about out of time, but Chris, you had showed us a presentation that you had worked on through your professional gig, and it's just the length of time that it took for these markets to recover during the Great Recession. What are we to learn from that?
The message is to diversify. If you were all in stocks from the market peak of October 2007 to the bottom, you lost half your money. It took you more than 4.5 years to get back to even, from the market peak to back to even after that decline. A well-diversified portfolio, which, by the way, over the entire time frame, beat the S&P. A diversified portfolio took just under 3 years to get back to even. So you had a year and a half less time to feel crummy. That's the important takeaway, is that diversification helps you feel better. It should, if you understand what its job is.
So in a volatile market, consider diversification. Our thanks to Zachary Horn and Chris DeSimio for coming in and sharing all these details with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Michael.
In 1862, Confederate forces marched toward Cincinnati with a plan of capturing the Union City. But the fortification of northern Kentucky was successful, and the site of Fort Mitchell and other batteries turned the rebels away. A new film explores this story, and Blondie lead singer Debbie Harry joins us to talk about her new autobiography. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.